Shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Yishai Fleischer Show, broadcasting live from Judea to the world. You're a part of it wherever you are. Shalom and welcome to the first week of the rest of your life. And I say that the last few weeks, but you know, we had the Torah portion of Bereshit, which was the creation of the world. We had the Torah portion of Noach, which was the rebirth of the world and the recreation of the world. And those were a type of creation narratives, creation dreams, creation tales. Not that they're not real, but they're written in a style that is dreamlike a little bit. While we are now getting to hard-nosed history of the Jewish people through the advent of Avram, who becomes Avraham. And it's always a special week. And even the name of it, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, just the name itself, Lech Lecha, teaches us a lot. You know, the Baal Shem Tov famously says, go to yourself, go to the real you. But when I see the word Lech Lecha, every year I see the same thing. Lech. First thing, I had this idea years ago that a sandal company should be called Lech Lechas. Or even one of the current sandal companies would make it so that on the bottom, when you would step, it would write, with one foot it would write Lech, and the other one Lecha, which is spelled really the same way. And you would take your Lech Lechas, you would Lechet with your Lech Lechas, you would walk with your walk to yourself. And everywhere you stepped, it would make a, you know, one of those tracks, and it would say Lech Lech, and you would just see everywhere Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, right? And you know, Israelis like hike in the sand and stuff like that, and you would just see these tracks of Lech Lechas. Wouldn't that be amazing? Isn't that cool? And you would see other people, other Lech Lechers, right, walking in front of you, walking the land. Well, I got a chance to walk the land today in a different way. Today was the first time we had a guest in Hebron from an important person at the UAE, at the United Arab Emirates. We had an important figure. He's an important businessman who we brought to Marat HaMachpelah and to the Jewish community of Hebron, and also to a pro-Israel Arab who I've talked about before on the show named Ashraf Jabri. And Ashraf Jabri, we went to his house, and there, that's where we actually had a big Arab meal. I did not eat and partake of the Arab meal, but I sat there, and they actually had a little bit of kosher food for me, just a little bit of salad and stuff, which is fine. But we had the great honor of having Nasser Muhammad El-Shamsi. Nasser Muhammad El-Shamsi, who is a Abu Dhabian, or Abu Dhabian, I don't know how to pronounce it right. He's an Abu Dhabian businessman who is close to Mohammed bin Zayed, who's the crown, the king I think he's he is the ruling king of the UAE, but I don't know exactly which emirate he's specifically from. I think actually he's from Abu Dhabi. And Abu Dhabi is actually the big emirate, while Dubai is not as big. But in any case, I haven't been there myself, so I'm not an expert yet at all. I'd like to become an expert. And it just reminded me that I had a hitchhiker in the car who was a guy who was born to a Jewish father and an Arab mother and then converted to Judaism. And he adjured me to study Arabic. And he said, you guys have to study more Arabic. And I think it's true. Got to study more Arabic. In any case, so I had El-Shamsi in Hebron today, and I took him to the house of Ashraf Jabri, who's the Mukhtar, which means the kind of important person, the ruling of the tribe or clan, head of the Jabri tribe. And it was really cool. And we had a great like Arab sit down and meal, and he gave him a whole, you know, political explanation about what's going on around here. And then I took him to the tomb of Ibrahim. I took him to the tomb of Abraham, and we took pictures, and we had a lot of fun. You can check out my Twitter and you'll see it. Just an interesting side note for you out there is that this guy El-Shamsi, the first 2 days that he was here, he was wearing his traditional clothes, his traditional like sheikh type clothes. Guess what? He was under attack by Israeli Arabs and Palestinian Arabs, and they were spitting at him and calling him traitor. Why? Because he was friendly to Israel. And he was told by the security personnel, instead of wearing this kind of clothes, you just got to put on a regular suit because people just identify you. The other Arabs identify you quickly as an Emirates person by your traditional garb, and you're just in trouble. You're in danger. So today I took him to Israel and to the areas controlled by the Palestinian Authority, but in this case, the Jabri tribe controls this area. And he told us, he said to me, listen, when I first came here, I was more afraid of the Israelis. I never met Israelis. They seemed dangerous to me. And it turned out that I had to be afraid of the Palestinians. So, that was an interesting reality that he was exposed to. You know, they don't really don't understand a lot what's going on around here. And I just was just showing him on tour. I took him to Tzomer HaGush. I showed him, you know, Israeli Arabs sitting having coffee and not far away from Jews on the one hand. So some coexistence in some places, other places tensions. In any case, for me, it was a great win because since the Abraham Accords, I've wanted to bring UAE people to show them the Tomb of Abraham, and that was the first. So that was really, really cool. And I'm really thankful that I did, that I had that opportunity. And that opportunity was afforded to me because the very night before, I went to the David Friedman Center gala opening. David Friedman's opening a new think tank and center. And that center is about the furtherance of the Abraham Accord and the concept of peace through strength. So that event was where I met Shamsi. And that's also where I saw a lot of folks that I know that I haven't seen in a long time. We hadn't had a big event like that, including David Friedman himself and other notables like Secretary Pompeo, former Secretary of State. Throughout this whole process of like going to this big event, and I took Malka with me, and we had a great time. And I saw a lot of my friends there, got to hang out with a lot of my good buddies. And also all kinds of people from the nationalist camp that I haven't seen in a long time. It was really fun. Got together with some donors as well, and those were important meetings. In any case, and I got to be with Maka also, and she was all in a good mood and having drinks and schmoozing with people and, you know, making world leaders laugh and stuff like that. But that's Maka for you. At the same time, I was working on a sink. That's right. I was working on a sink. I'm putting in a new sink to the tomb of Rut and Ishai. And just this whole effort of creating this like beautiful new sink for where there was like a water spigot, like in an ugliest way you could imagine. And suddenly we put in this expensive, beautiful sink of cut stone on top of a rock face of not a rock face. What am I saying here? Like a granite countertop type stone that we put down, and just working all this thing to just beautify it and get it ready for Parshat Chayei Sarah. In fact, when I finish here, I'm going to go over to Malka and ask her to order a beautiful brass spigot, what do you call it? Is spigot the right word? What am I looking for here? I don't know, you know. I don't know all the kitchen words. And I guess faucet. I guess faucet. Or, I don't know, faucet or spigot. In any case, so like as in the meantime, as I'm like dealing with like going to the Friedman Center event at the Museum of Tolerance and meeting a lot of people and getting, you know, gussied up so I could look presentable. At the same time, like getting dirty and trying to put in this new sink, which I'm very, very proud of. And I hope that you'll come and visit at the burial place of Rut and Yishai and Jesse in Hebron. And that was giving me also a lot of, it was giving me a lot of nachas, a lot of sipuk, a lot of fulfillment, because I just was like, this is great. What could be better? Oh, fault. I just remembered that I need to do more stuff. Oh my gosh, there's so much stuff to do right now. I have to also edit a movie that we're making for a new screen that we're putting at the entrance of Marat HaMachpelah, and I've got to go edit the script of it right now. Gosh, there's just so much stuff to do. It's just easy to forget it. It's easy to get lost. I write everything down, but still, you just like get like you're just like, oh my gosh, did I look at this? Did I do this? Did I do this? There's a lot of stuff to do, and that's the greatest blessing, because when you have a lot of stuff to do, that means that you're involved in stuff that's life affirming and creativity and all that for the sake of strengthening Israel and beautifying Israel and making it the gem that's supposed to be. And tonight is it was the 7th of Cheshvan today, and today's when we say when we add the blessing of asking for rain. And indeed it is drizzling outside just as I speak right now. So it was already drizzling earlier today, and there's been drizzles, and that's just because we've been asking God. We say, God, we need to ask you for rain, and it's been coming down. So that's really cool. So got to go with Malka to the Friedman event. That's where I met Shamsi. Meantime, fixing up the new sink and other stuff to make Kevarut V'Yishai awesome and beautiful. And actually want to take a break and talk about the show being dedicated this week, because this has been a special show for Parshat Lech Lecha, and I don't want it to go undedicated. And everybody here can take an opportunity to dedicate a show and to remember a loved one. But this week's show is special. So I will be dedicating the show this week to. So today's dedication is to Dr. Marvin Miller, Manos Ben Feivel. This is to the father of our good friend Valerie Brodsky, Dr. Adam's wife. And he was a great doctor, Dr. Marvin. He was hardworking, born to Polish parents. His first language was Yiddish. He was a captain in the U.S. Navy. And he wasn't one of those opulent doctors who just sat back. He was a hardworking, a real healer, but at the same time, donated, gave all of his whatever he made and all of his time to his beloved family. And he was just a sweet and good person who married the love of his life, who was a highborn Jewish, a German Jewish gal. And he spoke a kind of Yiddish accent, but they got along and they had five children. And he recently passed away, and now we commemorate his memory here. And it's an honor for me to remember Dr. Marvin Miller, and it's an honor for me to have this show dedicated in his honor. And I will also be thinking about him, especially when we get to the Torah part of our show today. So that's really, really fun, and it's I love dedicating shows to people. It makes me feel like we take a neshama and we just remember it. We talk about it publicly. And if you could just for 1 second remember Dr. Marvin Miller, Manos Ben Feivel, then immediately like you just made the show so much higher. You gave a person, a special person, a little bump up there in Shemayim in the heavens. So yeah, back to what we were talking about. So we talked about the Friedman Center event. We talked about Shamsi coming to Hebron. We talked about the sink that I was working on. And the other last thing that I want to talk about is, before we get to the Torah portion, is the issue of Yom Aliyah, the 7th of Cheshvan. As we said, we started praying for the rain. And at the same time, it's 7th of Cheshvan is Yom Aliyah, Israel Aliyah Day, Immigration Day to Israel celebrations. And I wrote the original bill in the year 2010. And I had a Knesset member who I was working for, and that was Yaakov Ketzela Katz, and we pushed that law. And one of the cornerstones of that law was when it was going to be placed, and I said it should be placed very close to Parshat Lech Lecha. And we didn't have an exact date that we wanted, but the idea of putting it in Cheshvan close to Parshat Lech Lecha, and that's where it fits it every single year. Because of how we read Sukkot and Parshat and when Bereshit starts, so Lech Lecha is pretty much always in the beginning of Cheshvan, and the final law made it on the 7th of Cheshvan. Well, guess what? That's the first thing, that's fabulous. Second thing, it's the day that we start praying for rain. And thirdly, it happens to be that Yishai and Malka Fleischer made Aliyah together to Eretz Yisrael on the 7th of Cheshvan. And for me personally, what can I tell you? To have a law that I came up with and wrote and made it into a national holiday in Israel, and there it is, and it's on the calendar and people are on the radio talking about it. That is just pretty cool. That is pretty cool, and also gives me confidence that maybe some of the other laws that I want to push through will be able to be done. It's just great, and I think the Aliyah needs that celebration. Remember, everybody in Israel is an Olé or a child of Olim or a grandchild of Olim or maximum a great grandchild of Olim, but that's about it. And the rest of the people, you know, very few people have maintained their presence here for the last. I knew a girl who had 10 generations back Israeli. Okay, but that's still in the 1700s. And then maybe there's a few other people that have even a longer lineage here. But the bottom line is that in very simple terms, we're a nation of immigrants. Yes, this is our land. And yes, we're coming back home, but we're still a nation of immigrants. Not colonialists, but immigrants still. So today's Yom Aliyah. So happy Yom Aliyah. And I think we should all celebrate Aliyah. We should celebrate the ingathering of the exiles. Even if we haven't yet been ingathered, we should be celebrating the ingathering of the exiles. And in fact, now that I think about it, I actually met a family named Bigun, and they were listeners to the show, and Dovid Bigun and his beautiful family, and I was just psyched to see them. And we met at Katzefet, the ice cream place, over there on Derech Chevron, and I just wanted to say hi to them, and we chatted for a long time. They really made me so happy, and it happened to be that we met on Yom Aliyah. Is that a coincidence? I don't think so. Thank you, Hashem, for that opportunity as well. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the Torah portion of Lech Lecha, a few mentions of it, of this, like the sandal idea. If you like that sandal idea, please write me an email with hashtag Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha. Okay, usually we spell it Lech, Lecha. So you could write that, or whatever approximation you think the spelling. Would be just as good. But let me know if you like that idea of the Lech Lecha sandals. Maybe we can push that as well. We got to push ideas forward. That's what the Aliyah Day thing gives me hope for. It's like, let's keep pushing great new ideas forward. Let's just be bold and see if we can, you know, put a dent in this world a little bit, like, and just change its trajectory just a tad by bringing a little bit more light. Abraham certainly changed the trajectory of the whole universe by hearing the call of Lech Lecha. He heard the call of Lech Lecha, and that Lech Lecha call took him to Eretz Yisrael. And there's something that I heard, and I really do wish I remembered who I heard say it or quote it in the name of. It's really such a shame for me that I can't recall right now, because this is not my chidush, it's not my innovation, but I definitely heard it in the name of somebody awesome. Oh, anyway, if you know, then let me know. And here's the Torah. It's this simple. The first pasuk in the Torah about Avraham is also the first pasuk about Eretz Yisrael. Lech lecha me'artzecha mi'beit avicha el ha'aretz asher ara'eka. Go. Let's read it right from the text. Hold on one second. I have it right here in front of me. Doo-doo. What a parsha Lech Lecha. What an energy Lech Lecha is. Speaking of energy, just parenthetically, today I was at the Marat HaMachpelah, at the Tomb of the Patriarchs and the Matriarchs, the forefathers and mothers, and there was a wedding, and it was being officiated by Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu. It was just, and he made everybody turn and bless one another. Oh my God. I'm telling you, I like raised my hands to heaven and blessed the whole crowd. It was amazing. And the verse in chapter 12, verse 1, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, God said to Avram, Lech lecha, me'artzecha u'mimoladecha u'mibeit avicha el ha'aretz asher ara'eka. He said to Avram, go forth from your land, from your birthplace, or from your family, from the house of your father, to a land which I will show you. It's the first thing we hear about Avram. The first thing we hear about our forefather is, go to the land of Israel. That's the first verse. So if you want to know what the rest is going to be about, it's like, the first verse is, God says to Abraham, go to the land of Israel. It's just that simple. Like that, I mean, maybe in some way, that's in a nutshell, the whole thing. You know, go to the land of Israel, be a holy nation. And I think I wanted to say this before, and I didn't get it, somehow may have lost track before, but I'm just coming back to it now, which is Lech Lecha. Look at it visually. You add up the gematrias, you add up the values of the letters. Lech is 50 and Lecha is 50. It's 50 and 50. It's 15-50, which is another way of actually saying also 5-5, because you can drop to zeros in all kinds of ways. And but it, one way or the other, when I see 5-5, you know what I think of? I think of the Ten Commandments. It's like Lech Lecha. It's like I've got a message of the Ten Commandments. Where? In the land of Israel. So I already hear the Torah, and I already hear the Zionism. I hear those things combining. I hear spirituality and nationality in one. And it's just visual for me. Lech Lecha, I see the Ten Commandments, and I see, you know, the 5-5. And you have to think to yourself, it's like, it's not a coincidence the first Torah portion is going to be Lech Lecha, like go. And that you see these two words that are the same, they're spelled the same. One means Lech, and one means to you, or go forth, go on your way. There's something meditative about that. I myself can meditate on the words Lech Lecha and just see them in front of my eyes, and it's just meaningful to me. Now, speaking of visualization, here's another visualization in our Torah portion. Our Torah portion has a lot of very important stories. They're like mini stories. And the first one is go to the land of Israel. Avram gets to Shechem. That's the first city. Always the first city in the land of Israel is Shechem. And it gets a big boost in this week's Torah portion. And then to Beit El, or close to Beit El, between the Beit El and the Ai. I personally believe that's Mount Baal Chatzor. And then he goes down to Egypt, and Sarah gets taken away in that whole episode. And Avraham gets even wealth through that episode. But he's going to probably learn from that's not such a good way, because next time when he has the ability to get wealth from an episode, he says, no thanks, I don't want the king of Sodom to enrich me. And they return to Beit El, to that area, to the Har Baal Chatzor. And then Lot splits off. He goes to this, God says, the Torah says that Sodom is a bad place with very bad people. We'll learn more about that later. We'll learn in the next Torah portion about the story of praying for Sodom, praying for Sodom. And then finally he gets to Hebron. Vahel Avraham, Abraham tented. Vayavo v'yeshev be'elonei Mamre. He came and he sat in the terebinths of Mamre, Asher b'Chevron, which is in Hebron, v'even sham mizbech l'Hashem. Okay, and so that's cool for me. It's the first Torah portion of Shechem. It's Beit El and it's Hebron. We'll also learn about Shalem. So the major cities, the idea of the biblical highway is being formed already here. Then there's the war between the four and five kings, and this is when Avraham, according to Rav Soloveitchik, becomes famous. When he fights the terror of the four kings and he defeats them in battle, that's when people are like, whoa, this guy's spirituality is backed up by serious force. This is the real thing. And then we meet Malki Tzedek, and as usual, Gentiles are the ones that love to bless God, and Malki Tzedek, who maybe is the first Semite, Shem, blesses God. He blesses Avram, and he's the first blesser. Except for God, he's the first blesser. And it says that he blessed Avram, and he blessed him. Vayomer Baruch Avram le'el Elyon. Blessed is Avram to the Most High God, Koneh Shamayim Va'aretz, the holder of heaven and earth. You know what you just reminded me? You guys just reminded me that my son Elazar said that he wants to watch a movie tomorrow night. Well, we're going to watch Avraham, the TNT version, which has really good stuff. Maybe one little thing to skip for the kids, but like overall, excellent, excellent. TNT Avraham is one of the best movies. So I'm going to watch that with Elazar tomorrow night. I'm going to make time for that. I'm excited now. You guys got me excited. And he blesses God, does Malki Tzedek, and he's the king of Shalem, which is probably the first mention of Jerusalem. And then we get to what I wanted to talk about today, which is the very Avraham is going through great adventures, but he's got one very acute problem. He doesn't have any children of his own. And through what's going to happen now, we're going to also learn about there's going to be an Ishmael, And that's the Hagar's son, and that's he's born in this week's parsha. But I just want to, before I get to that, and I don't want to go all the way to the issue of Ishmael and Hagar today. I just want to talk about Brit Bein HaPtarim, the covenant between the parts. The covenant between the parts is one of the most central and important stories in the book of Genesis, and it is not easily and not very well understood by most. It is some tricky texts, and there's a lot of like hidden mysticism in there, and I want to talk about an aspect which is very important to me personally, which is a vision of what Abraham's vision is in this story. First thing, he's going to be given the name Abraham instead of Avram. He's going to be Avraham at the end of this thing, but in the beginning, we don't. He's still Avram, and God asks him. One second, let me make sure I didn't make a mistake. I just, right, okay. I just want to make sure. When does he get the name Avraham? Actually, excuse me, I made a mistake. He gets the name Avraham after Ishmael is going to be born, and when he's going to be told of having an Isaac, now he's got to change his name. He's got to also have a circumcision, and that's he needs to up his game a lot. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. This is not going to be at the covenant between the parts that he gets the name Abraham. That's later on, just before he basically has to conceive of Isaac. It's got to be at a different level than Ishmael. He's got to be a new name. He's got to be circumcised, and he's got to be with this incredible wife Sarah. In any case. The Brit Bein HaPtarim is central to that vision because it's going to be a vision for the Jewish people's future. And here's what I wanted to say. Brit Bein HaPtarim is the covenant between the parts. God says to him, take for me 9 animals. Kachli eglah mishuleshet, let me have a calf, 3 calves, 3 goats, and 3 rams. And also 2 birds, and I want you to cut them. I want you to cut them nose to tail, from front to back. And I want you to line up those pieces facing one another. Say what? What is that about? Well, afterwards it keeps getting weirder. He's gonna knock out Avraham. He's gonna put him kind of to sleep. He's gonna give him the same kind of sleep that he did to Adam before he cut the rib out of Adam and made it into the woman. He knocked him out. And it said that he tells him there's something dark and scary that's coming over Abraham and over Avram. And he says to him, you should know that your seed is going to be enslaved in a land that's not theirs. And they will be even, I don't. It's not tortured. It's they will be, not persecuted. They'll be discomforted greatly, right? They will be enslaved. They will face hardships. That's what's going to happen to your seed for 400 years, and I'm going to judge the nation that does this against your children, but they will leave with great wealth. So what is all this? This is a giant vision of what's going to be in Egypt. And he says, and the fourth generation shall return here to this land, because that's the time when it's going to be ready. And then he gets a vision, and that vision is that when the sun sets, he sees a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke passing through these parts, the parts of the animals. What is that? What is the whole vision? And Hashem has given me an insight into this vision that Abraham got, and that one has just it's changed my whole understanding of this passage. And it's when you hear it, you'll understand how simple and how straightforward it is, that it's just shocking. Basically, what God was saying is, your children are going to be enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. And then they're going to come out. They're going to come out with great wealth. And I'm going to judge the nation that enslaved them. And when they come out with that great wealth,
They're going to go from Egypt. He didn't tell them which land. He didn't tell them where it's going to be, but we know it's going to be from Egypt, and we know that it's going to go to Sinai to receive the Torah. But when they come out, there's going to be this monumental moment. That monumental moment is going to be the splitting of the Red Sea. And so you see these animals that are cut in half, these nine animals that are cut in half facing one another, and they got these parts. Now imagine this. There's going to be a pillar of fire and a pillar of smoke that's going to go right through it. And it's going to be this incredibly dramatic vision. I'm showing you something. You don't know what it is yet, but it's the splitting of the Red Sea. It's the splitting of the Reed Sea. It's the splitting of the Yam Suf. I'm showing you. And when they do this thing, they're going to come out a nation on the other side. And this is what it's going to feel like. It's going to be super dramatic. And the pillar of fire and pillar of smoke are going to lead them through these pieces, through these cuts. And then they're going to come out to be a nation. And that's the vision that, and they're going to come to this land, says God, and they're going to inherit these peoples in this land. And he lists the seven nations, and he says that then they're going to overcome it all and come here and conquer the land. So he gives them the whole platter of Jewish history right there before him. He lays out what's going to be the story of Egypt, and then he shows them a little YouTube video, a clip of what the splitting of the Red Sea, the most dramatic moment in Jewish history, is going to look like. He gave him a preview. And he gave us a preview, how he showed Abraham a preview of Jewish history to come. And probably on the deepest level, all of Jewish history is somehow being shown to Abraham. The intensity of it all, the power of it all. And that's Abraham. It's like, this is the destiny of your seed. I'm telling you that I'm God, and I'm going to deal with your children directly and create for them a destiny. And it's going to look something like this. All of us, my friends, have to go through life. Life is always a splitting of the Red Sea. Since we come out of the birth canal, and all of the rest of our life, all the way till we go into the tomb, we're always splitting the Red Sea every single day to eke out a life and an existence, to keep the peace, to give each other strength, to serve God more nearly, and to be the people that we're intended to be. It's always a lech lecha, right? Because remember, the splitting of the Red Sea is not just splitting of the Red Sea, you got to walk. And as Morpheus tells Neo, one day you'll know that there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. And that's the Jewish people. We are lech lecha-ers. We are lech lechers. And therefore, without trying to lelech lech, which means to make things dirty, we have to be clean. But at the same time, we got to lech lecha, we got to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. And that's the way of Avram, which becomes Avraham. And that becomes in this 2 weeks Torah portion. I want to bless all you guys out there. And I want to again mention the dedication of the show. This week's show is dedicated to Dr. Marvin Miller, Manos Ben Feivel, hardworking, born to Polish parents, spoke Yiddish, captain in the U.S. Navy, loved his family. I wish I would have known him. I'm sure he was also a good doctor, and good doctoring used to be something amazing. We still need more great doctors here in the land of Israel and the Jewish people in general. I also want to thank sponsors of our show, Prohibition Pickle, which make Shabbos so delectable, and not just Shabbos, when you need a little l'chaim with a little herring, you know? And we had some great, I was drinking tequila personally. You know, I don't really like scotches and whiskeys and bourbons and all that stuff. I like vodka and I like tequila, and had some great tequila shots at the Friedman Center just to loosen it up, the event, but not too much, obviously. You know, Lubavitcher Rebbe says 3 shots is a max. I didn't even have like 3 shots, but I went in there. Maybe I had 3 shots, but they were like little. In any case, I love Prohibition Pickle. Check them out on Facebook and on Instagram, and check out the amazing way that you could order and get big orders in for Parshat Chayei Sarah. I think I'm going to do that as well. One of my good friends wants to make a big order. I think we're going to do that. There's also one more person I want to dedicate the show to.
So yeah, so the other person I wanted to mention was that a good friend of mine, Reuven Pittinger, moved here to Eretz Yisrael just recently, and he just found out that his grandmother passed away. Her name was Beverly Boyd Bakel, and she taught him to love Israel, and she taught him the Bible, and she loved Israel extremely a lot, and he also dedicated a beautiful donation to the Jewish community of Hebron through the Hebron Fund. And that's so wonderful because we have Parshat Chayei Sarah coming. And that's really also wanted me, I wanted to use the opportunity to remind everybody that the Torah portion of Chayei Sarah, where we learn about the purchase of Marat HaMachpelah, the tomb, the patriarchs, the matriarchs in Hebron, is going to be taking place in just 2 weeks. Very exciting, almost nervous about it because it's so exciting. But there's going to be a group of people that are going to be coming through the Hebron Fund. And I highly recommend that people check out the HebronFund.org website and see if they could sign up for our great tour coming up. We're bringing people to the land of Israel with the COVID regulations, all the stuff, everything is being done right. All the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed and all the, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? All the stuff is taken care of. So check out HebronFund.org, who is also the other sponsor for our show, obviously the Jewish community of Hebron. So, that's about it, my friends. So much stuff. And thank you, Hashem, so much for the strength. And also want to tell you that if you want to go to YishaiFleischer.com and you want to donate to the beautification of the tomb of Rut and Yishai so that we can get it even more beautiful and ready for Torah portion of Chayei Sarah, this is the time to do it. It's in 2 weeks, and I still have a lot of painting, a lot of chiseling, a lot of things to do to make it beautiful and ready for all the guests. So please do that through YishaiFleischer.com. And that's it. I want to really bless you and thank you and wish you a great week. Wish you a happy Aliyah Day. Wish you a happy winter since we're starting to pray for the rain. And wish you a great Lech Lecha in your personal journey in life. Thank you, Hashem, for the opportunity of broadcasting to my friends out there. Let's stay in touch. Write me an email, YishaiFleischer.com. Thank you so much to the Land of Israel Network and the people that make the show possible. Tabitha, Ben Bresky, Moshe, Herman, Yocheved Seidman, and Joe. When we go live, excuse me, not who's Joe? Who's Joe? What was I even thinking? I don't even know what I'm thinking. I'm talking about Lou. Who's Joe in my head? I don't know. I must be getting ready for Joseph or something like that. I must be thinking of that TNT Joseph movie. I don't even know what I'm thinking. It's also late night around here, and it's been extremely busy days. So you'll have to forgive me for just being a little bit funny out there. And I forgive you for not writing me an email yet. But if you want to, it would make my day. So write me an email, YishaiFleischer.com. And God bless you folks wherever you are. Stay tuned. Stay strong. Stay connected. Stay part of the story. Stay awesome. Because Hashem is making us awesome. Lots of love and lots of strength, lots of blessings from the land of blessings, and shalom.
As the masks are coming off and much of the world is turning not only against Israel, but yes, against the Jewish people, if you feel different, if your love for Israel is growing deeper and stronger, if you're thirsting to cleave to the nation of Israel and to the God of Israel, if you're thirsting to learn authentic Torah from Jews in Judea, then the Land of Israel Fellowship is for you. Hundreds of individuals and families from around the world come together on Zoom every week in what can only be described as a fellowship of love, friendship, of learning and praying and belonging. A fellowship really unlike any other. It's more than just a movement, it's a family. To learn more about the Land of Israel Fellowship, click on www.thelandofisrael.com/fellowship or send an email to fellowship@thelandofisrael.com. Love and blessings from Judea.